On today's podcast, Josh Willis speaks honestly about life following the devastating loss of his beloved wife, Samantha, to COVID-19. Josh shares how he tries to keep positive for their children while keeping Samantha's memory very much alive. Welcome, Josh. Thank you for coming on Memory of Me podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on. How's things?
Hi, going okay, I suppose, considering the circumstances.
Yeah.
We're how far away now? 14, 15 months down the road. Uh-huh. Doesn't get any easier. You just suppose maybe get a bit more used to it every day.
Aye.
Some days are good, some days are bad.
And
the day's an all right sort of middle of the road day.
Aye.
Keep busy just.
100%. Can you give the viewers just a wee background about just yourself and Samantha and your family?
I'm Josh Willis. I met Samantha back in 2012 on a night out.
Where was it?
Where everybody met.
Where is it? Metro?
Metro.
Metro Sweatro?
Well, everybody around that time seemed to meet. Was an unplanned night out for both of us. It just we ended up out. It was her birthday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And first date, she actually asked me, sort of, not out. We just met and kept in contact. And then one week, I think maybe the following week, 2 weeks later, she asked me to go to Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks?
I thought, you're the one. I hadn't been at Monster Trucks since I was away, and I thought, She was embarrassed to ask any of her friends that they want to go, so she asked me, and we went one night after.
So was that your first date?
Aye. Monster Trucks at the rugby club, and then I think we went, I can't remember if it was that night, I think we went up to Port Rush for dinner then afterwards. So it worked out well. It was a summer, so it was a nice long evening and whatnot, so we...
Brilliant,
And they haven't been back since.
Haven't.
So they haven't,
So it just really took off from there then?
Aye, basically we just sort of clicked. All right, it was sort of, well, I think we met pretty much every evening after work for I don't know how long.
Aye.
And just sort of happened. We moved in together and
brilliant.
I moved to Waterside for the first time.
Aye.
Wouldn't move back across a ways
now.
That's actually, it's hard enough thinking back now, so much has happened since.
I know. So how many years were you together?
So that was May. So when she passed away in August.
Mm-hmm.
So just over 9 years.
Okay.
It was 10 years this year it would have been.
And how long were you married?
Married just over three years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right there actually.
So life was good. Everything was going well and.
Everything was going well. We had obviously married 2 years. We were buying in the process. We had just started the process of buying the house.
Yeah.
Just obviously she was pregnant too.
Yeah.
Just new chapter basically, buying a house, new baby in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Just moving on, planning, working the house, whatever.
Yeah.
We never got our honeymoon.
No.
We went away, took Lily anyways, but it was just sort of like a mini honeymoon. We were the do the proper one at some point, but we were concentrating on the house first and thought we'll get that over the line and think about the rest then.
Yeah.
So we basically never got our honeymoon either.
No.
So we didn't.
So tell us a bit about Samantha then.
Samantha, she was a carer out in the community. She was doing it around about the year. So she was, before that, she just worked few different jobs here and there, but she really liked it out in the community.
Yeah.
And the people she worked out with seemed to like her too. She loved it, but she was, when maternity leave came around, she was happy to be getting the break because it's full on. It's,
well,
everybody hears the stories in the news and whatnot under. Understaffed, underpaid, all the usual stuff.
Aye,
but
100%.
She loved it, but was looking forward to the break, basically.
Yeah. Was pregnancy okay? Was she fine?
Between Liliana and this one, there was a difference. Overall, she was okay, but I noticed they're a lot more tired, but that was probably down to age as much as much as anything. But no, she got on with it. She was working. Before Christmas, she was working 60 hours a week some weeks. So she done, any time they rang her, she was away. Because I was working from home, it worked out all right because I was in the house, Liliana. No, I was there. This was before nursery and obviously, well, nursery was in and out at that stage by lockdowns and stuff. So her hours and my hours at work all sort of interlinked and we didn't have to worry much about babysitters and whatnot. So
we
worked
were the exact same too as well. Before Berkey, obviously he passed away through COVID too as well. And we locked down in the March and Berkey passed away in the April. But see that month when we were locked down, we were the same. I was working days. No, I was working nights, Berkey was working days, and we didn't really need childcare at all, do you know, that kind of way, but it was tough going.
That's some difference now, and obviously I'd rather here, and I'd rather be going out to work every day, but I don't know how I'm supposed to fit work on.
No, so I know, but you know what, you will manage that through time, do you know what I mean? Like, it took me 2.5 years to go back to work, do you know what? I was nowhere near fit for it.
Even now, 15 months down the line, I can't believe I've not worked for that long.
No, well, I was the same 2.5 years, but as I said, like especially for the first 2 years, I couldn't even imagine, I couldn't even adjust it into my life, do you know what I mean?
I still call in to work now and then, not as often. I used to go in every week when Liliana was doing a bit of play therapy in the town, so I would call in for a cup of tea or whatever while she was in her wee class. Mm-hmm. Now it's maybe every few weeks, but no, it's hard to even imagine being back at work.
Aye.
And I don't want to miss the Wains growing up now. When Liliana was younger, I didn't know any different because I just had to go back to work and that was the way things were. But now we've been off for so long. It's
just
like,
trying to manage everything.
I don't want to be coming on at night at tea time and having an hour with the Wains and them having to go to bed and getting up the next day and doing it all again.
I know.
No chance.
No, so definitely not.
It'll be a while.
No. So, in your own words, Josh, just when the both of yous tested positive, didn't yous?
We both tested positive. Must have been 31st of July.
Is there a 31st of July? just kind of what happened.
So, basically, we were in and out of lockdown like everybody else. Yeah. Samantha was 37-ish weeks pregnant, summertime, enjoying it, working from home, clocking out, well, I don't want to say early, I was starting early and clocking out at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We had the rest of the evening together, that was a plan, Friday night where we're sitting, got a phone call, I've tested positive for COVID, that was on, I'll just not say who it was, but
somebody
that was in the house with us earlier that day. So basically Samantha straight on the phone booking in for a test the next morning. So the three of us went for a test the next morning. Results came back on the Sunday morning, both positive.
Never saw yourself and Samantha,
both ways. So I've asthma, so I was all in. I had must have been a month or so before I got my second vaccine. Samantha obviously didn't have a vaccine because that was the information at the time for pregnant people. Never thought anything of it. I was working from the house. The Waynes were off in the summer holidays. We weren't mixing too much. Like, we weren't going out.
No.
We were in the house a lot of the time. No. But a shopping was as far as where we were going most of the time. So we just thought, right, I'll get up in the morning, clock in, do my day's work, clock out at 4 o'clock. The weather was good around the time. Well, enjoyed the, I can't even remember the word. What did you call it? Isolation.
Isolation. No, we were isolated for like what, 2 years?
So we were looking forward to just.
Yeah.
We were around the house anyway. Like she was off at that stage, so we were looking forward to just being about the house, sitting in the garden.
Yeah.
Doing whatever we're going to do. So I think by the end of that weekend, then she was coughing. Now she had a wee bit of a cough sometimes anyway. But it was more clear your throat type of cough. But over that weekend, by the Sunday night, it was getting worse and worse. By the Monday, it was, you know, she could barely have a conversation with, no, without stopping coughing, but we didn't really think much of it, even at that stage. Then the Tuesday morning, same thing. I was downstairs working away in the kitchen. She couldn't even get out of her bed. We were thinking at that stage, no, she was coughing that much, she could hardly take a breath. We just started thinking, Dwayne, if you can't breathe, Dwayne's not going to be breathing too well.
It must have been so difficult too as well with that too.
You're
worrying about her, but you're also what you were worrying about the baby too.
Even at that stage, we weren't worrying about her.
No.
It was more the baby because she was 37 weeks pregnant. So we rang the doctor, and it was, I think it was 5 hours before they rang back.
Okay.
So I was told her to come straight over. So I took her over, going up in tea time after 5 o'clock sometime. They checked her oxygen levels. She could barely even walk at that stage said it was borderline her oxygen levels, but go to the hospital just because you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Just to be sure.
So
I took her over and basically did the A&E end. I think it's changed since the old A&E entrance. Went in, said to the gear, and they sent the wheelchair out and basically took her in from the ambulance bay. Didn't even give her a kiss or a hug or nothing. Liliana was sitting in the back of the car watching her iPad. Not even sure if she waved.
No.
Just thought
she might be
an overnight. Worst case, and that was really it. That night then I had to leave a bag up. No hospital bag, just for a few bits of toothbrush and whatnot in it.
So how long was she in for altogether?
She went in it on the Tuesday tea time. Evie Grace was born at lunchtime on the Thursday.
Oh my God.
Took her in the ICU after Evie Grace was born for the weekend. But that was just to try and different breathing masks. They had a hood thing that they put on. She's grand, she's sitting up, chatting away.
Speaking then at that stage?
Still couldn't hold a conversation together, but I asked her when we were on FaceTime when Evie Grace was being born. Me and Liliana were sitting in the house watching it all happen on FaceTime because I'd sent on her iPad. And I asked her afterwards, does your breathing feel any difference? Obviously, when you're pregnant, everything's squashed or whatever the right term is. And she said that she felt like a release, afterwards, as if she could breathe better. So anyway, she was in ICU for the weekend. They put her back in the COVID ward then on the Monday. And
did Evie Grace go? Did she come home then with you then?
No, Sunday.
Sunday?
I was still isolating at this time, so I was thinking, you can't send the Wayne home to me whenever I'm isolating. Right, I've got COVID. Don't be sending a brand new Wayne back to me.
No.
Because she gets COVID.
Did she get to see her at all?
Just for a split second. Obviously, she was born by section.
Right.
They dropped the sheet. That's actually the photograph. They used the photograph on the news because I had sent it on at the time. So basically, it's here's your baby.
Oh, I know, but how special is that?
They rushed her out then. They're supposed to get away from the COVID environment and then they do whatever checks that they do with newborns then. So she never got to hold Evie Grace and I'd say maybe a metre at the most is as close as she got there. It was just here you go.
Heartbreaking.
See you later. So that was we didn't know what was going to happen at that stage. So that was the Thursday. She went in the ICU till the Monday. They put her, she was grand, showing better signs. So they put her back in the COVID ward, obviously because she was sick. Even though she was out of her isolation period, she was sick, so she had to go to the COVID ward. And then the Thursday, and she took a turn, and that's then when she went to ICU for the second time. Then on that Thursday, everything seemed to be Thursdays for whatever reason.
Berkey passed on Thursday too for me.
So she went to COVID ward or back to ICU end for a week. So she lasted the end of all on Thursday night going on to Friday morning. So basically, whatever turn that she had taken in the COVID ward, they had to
take her to ICU.
They couldn't even take her to ICU. They said she wouldn't have made it to ICU. So they had to do whatever they done in the COVID ward and then take her to ICU. Mm-hmm. But that same day? No, I'll leave that bad out. That's mm-hmm. my mind, not
Aye.
Skipping parts and adding bits in. Still not sure about that, but it's not well important anyway.
But you were there, weren't you? Were you there?
They rang me on the Thursday.
Yeah.
So they did. Actually, me and, that's what it was. Liliana had an appointment in the hospital.
Yeah.
So she did. and then I thought I'll take her for lunch. And every time we're passing St. Eugene's Cathedral, she always pointed at, she called it the castle. Where we're, if we're up in Brook Park, you could see it. Or if we were driving past, she called it the castle at the time. So I thought, take her a wee scoot in there and we'll walk around and light a candle and do all that sort of stuff. So I took her, parked outside, took her a walk around. She lit one of the candles and said, I think there's a statue of Mary or whatever the statue was. I wish Mommy would get better. And her voice echoed through the whole building. Like.
Oh, God.
So then I took her around the rest, just stations across and the stained glass and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Back out in the car, set her down in the car, phone rang, hospital, Samantha's not well. I can't even really remember what they said to me now, but just something along them lines. And Liliana in the back seat, just doing what we ones do at that age, talking when you're on the phone and all. So I sort of didn't lose it where I just,
no, it's just said,
she was all, Daddy, what's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And then she would ask about her iPad and where are we going now and can I get sweets and all the usual stuff. And then I did just came out of my mouth, Mommy, no, so Mommy mightn't be coming home. No, Mommy's really sick. And then she just looked at me and, no, what are you talking about? And I said, Mommy might die. Just came out. I wasn't even thinking about it. It was just came out of my mouth. Mommy might die, and
probably just complete panic too as well.
And her face just dropped, and she said to me, she was all, she just went quiet and just pure sad face. I'll never forget it. And she said, "Who'll be my mommy then?"
Oh, Josh.
And I was like, I just turned around and started driving. I don't even know if I answered her or not. I can't remember. Well, at that answer, I said, Mommy will always be your mommy, whether she's here or not.
100%.
So I
did,
but I just had a drive then. So that was at the cathedral. And it was on Craigavon Bridge, just coming off Craigavon Bridge, and my phone started ringing again. So I pulled in on the bus stop at Duke Street, and was another doctor or whatever, and they said, no, she's really not well. You can call up, and they're well organised to get you in to see her. So we will, and they had told me a week before, no, because I tried to get up with Evie Grace, to thinking if I get Evie Grace in, she gets to hold her, it might give her what she needs to try push her. No, might something might click and whatever, and might help her get better quicker, but not. Wasn't allowed. So when they said, no, basically they said at the time, the only way you'll get on is if she's not coming back out. So when they said that, I was obviously thinking the worst at that stage. So straight in the phone, trying to get somebody to take Evie Grace, or sorry, not Evie Grace, Liliana. So a couple of, well, so about an hour and a half later, I went up to the hospital, had a suit up, big spaceman suit, blowing air under the mask and all. It was like I was going to space.
And
eventually
did
I got
you prepare in. Yourself for them moments? Did you know that this was going to be it then?
No, at this stage, she was just really unwell. So I went in not knowing what to expect. Even though I knew they had told me that before, still didn't think she was going to die. So I went, took about half an hour to suit up. So I did like two pairs of gloves and all this sort of stuff. Went in anyway, sat at the end of bed. She was, they had rolled her over. No, they were, when they were rolling people over on their chest, helps them breathe better or whatever. So I sat at the top of the bed, holding her hand, talking there. Can't remember if it was half an hour. It was either half an hour I was in there where. And then I had to go in just because of circumstances, COVID, ICU, all that sort of stuff. But I was sitting.
Was it just you and her?
Just me and her. So I was sitting there holding her hand, talking, sort of leaned over the top, talking in her ear type of thing. But then as I was doing it, I was just watching everything else around me too. Yeah. And it was pretty much what you seen on the TV, even though people didn't believe it at the time. No. Stories going around saying, all ICU wards are empty. And it was far from it.
No.
So it was. But she was hooked up to all these tubes and different things and different machines beeping and monitors and whatnot. But anyway, I was there and I was talking there, telling her, no, we're all waiting. You have to get home to meet Evie Grace and just all the usual stuff that you would say.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I was leaving, I looked at the monitor and for oxygen levels and whatever dollar numbers were, and they were all slightly moving up, and I thought, happy days.
She's getting
away. I don't know if she could hear me or not. They couldn't tell me if she could hear me. They say sometimes people come out of comas or whatever, and people remember. Some people remember nothing. Some people remember voices. So I was hoping she would hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Then we went back to the house and sort of updated everybody. So at night then, that evening, I was down... It's a happy land in Eglinton. I went down for my dinner just and left there, and my manager at work lives down that direction. I thought I'll take a scoot up and just sort of update him type of thing. I was standing talking to him at the front gate. Phone rings again. She's really not well. I can come up again and get a few family members as well. And I thought, right, this is it. Even though I'd heard it, it wasn't sort of registering. So left there, making phone calls on the way up saying, meet me at the hospital. But even at that stage, it was going up in 3 hours before I actually got on this ear. This was, must have been half eight.
Was it just, they were just working where?
I'm not really sure. Well, the time we all got suited up, 4 years were allowed in. So it must have been about half eight I got the call, and I didn't get on this ear. They'd gone up at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So we all went up. We met. All that happened within half an hour. We went in. They took us into a wee room, and they tried to get me the do not resuscitate, and I had to sort of agree to it because they said, no, if they had to do it, she'll be a lot worse off, basically. But the words, I just couldn't get the words out of my mouth. There's no way. I'm not agreeing to that.
No.
So I'm not...
Because that's that was your, you know what I mean, that's your wife. Do you know, obviously mines were sudden loss, do you know what I mean? So I couldn't imagine to be put under that position, especially with her being so young too as well. Do you know, it must have been really, really tough.
I don't even, we're all sitting in a wee office. It was like a wee size, a standard size, wee bathroom size of room, all sitting on the desks and everywhere. And I don't know what happened since they said that, but I didn't give them an answer, but I can't, it's just that part's a blur then, what happened between that and suiting up and going in, but I never told them anyway, so the 4 years went, and the wee thing that blows air, well, they had to change them a few times, so it took us a while to get in. So Holly and Shay had went in first. I went last because I had already been in that day, so I let Dollar free. It was Holly, Shay and her mummy went in. So Holly and Shay went on first, then her mummy, or whatever order it went on. I went on last. So I let them stand up at the top end of the bed, and I stood down sort of at the bottom, bare feet. There was a priest in at that stage, and we're all standing around the bed, and one or two little nurses and whatnot, and priest was saying prayers.
Yeah.
Just as I was coming to end, I looked up at the screen that I had been looking at earlier on the day,
mm-hmm.
and I seen the oxygen level was at 60 something.
Oh,
and there was a wee nurse standing beside me, and I said, is that her oxygen level? She said, she's literally just passed away. So I was like standing, rubbing her feet or whatever I was doing at the time. So I walked over to the window, and then seconds later, I heard the squealing behind me. That was basically it. That was a weird sort of.
And then at the same moments, then that your life changes forever. Do you know what I mean?
My brain just went on the overdrive straight away. It was like that night. It was Holly and Shay. Holly was.
I get that. You do go on the fight or flight mode. Like.
She was 15. Shay was 17. So at that point, I was just concentrating on them two.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even thinking too much about the younger two at the time. Like, I was thinking, right, these two have just witnessed their mommy die.
Yeah.
They hadn't been, like, I was the only one that had spoke to her. The 18 days she was in hospital, nobody else spoke to her, seen her. I seen her on FaceTime, text messages. I was on FaceTime when Evie Grace was born, but sometimes I forget that.
Yeah.
I had them 18 days extra in a way, whereas everybody else, it just seemed like she disappeared.
Yeah.
So it did.
Probably because at that time too as well, people, you know, your family probably didn't know what was going to be the outcome. Do you know what I mean? That, and, you know, especially with her being pregnant too as well at the time too, you know, it must have been just 10 times more difficult, like, because, you know, you are, you know, I honestly, I couldn't even imagine what you've been through, like, you know, I know, like, I'm an older widower too as well, and I have went through similar situations, Dee, but, you know, yours is just, you know, when I seen it, because yours was very public.
Aye.
Like mine's too as well.
I wasn't
was
even,
public
I,
out of your own hands.
I wasn't expecting it at the time, like, but, no, well, when I say at the time, the Friday, it was the sort of, it was the Saturday morning before it sort of started. Basically,
I seen it on Facebook.
I was lying in my bed on a Friday night. She didn't come home the Saturday evening, so we basically had all day Friday to sort things out, basically. And a good part of Saturday as well. So I wasn't one for writing, like, Facebook. Used it to post pictures of Wayne's or whatever. Yeah. But for whatever reason, that night I felt like I should do it, just because people were asking how she was and
stuff like that
for nearly 3 weeks beforehand. So I done a post that night, just before I went to sleep later on the Friday night, and when I woke up on the Saturday morning, it was like, what happened? That
it had viral.
So I actually went in and changed the settings, whatever settings Facebook had at the time, so more people could
see
it, and it just thousands of likes, thousands of comments.
Yeah.
So it was.
And did you find that hard? Did you find it hard being so, that it is so public?
I was surprised, but that was the same weekend they done that big jab weekend or whatever they called it at the Foyle Arena and stuff. And people queued for 4 hours, and they said my Facebook post actually made the difference, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, it is, because, you know, it being the most heaviest circumstances, but Samantha's story has made such a huge impact.
For a week after the funeral, I done interviews, literally for a solid week. Between newspapers, radios, there was tons. I didn't turn them down, I just didn't realise at the time. There were magazines in America and France and all over the place.
Because it was, you know, it was, and especially because it's our hometown, do you know what I mean, in Derry, where it's just, you know, it's just so heartbreaking, it's unbelievable, do you know what I mean, like, how did you, you know, after, like, I know it being so public and everything, but how was life afterwards then with your family and stuff, and even, like, you know, you having a brand new newborn in the house, you know, it must have been really, really difficult.
At once the funeral and all was done, concentration obviously went on the younger two.
Aye, and I see the funeral as well. Just talk me through that too. Didn't Evie Grace get christened as well the same day as the funeral?
The funeral was on the Monday.
Yeah.
So it was, my uncle came back from America. He was a priest, so he was on the plane before I don't know. He must have been straight on booking a ticket. But anyway, he was on the plane. He came back on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So he was down in the house on a Sunday evening. I just thought he had christened Liliana. He had done our wedding. So I just said to him, when you're back, you've an extra job.
He was lucky to get back. Was there any rigid restrictions?
No, I think flights, you had to wear masks and stuff, do a test and stuff.
But you were allowed to travel and stuff?
You were allowed to travel, so I asked him on the Sunday when he got down, do you want to do a christening before you go home. I wasn't planning to ask him beforehand because they had travelled back for Liliana's, and I thought, well, just get whatever priest at the time to do it. But because he was there, I just said, do you want to do it when you're here? He said, I know, bother, we'll sort it out after the funeral. So wee while later, he called me over and said, not sure if it's ever happened, not sure if you're allowed to do it, but I'm going up to the chapel. They meet with a priest in a while. I'll find out. Do you want to do the christening at the funeral? And before he'd even finished the sentence, I was all, don't care if they tell you, you're not allowed to do it.
We're doing it. And how many did you have on the chapel? Was there any restrictions in that?
I want to say it was full, but I don't know.
Right, see, there was only 10.
No, it wasn't any of that.
No, see, we had 10 in the chapel for Berkey, and then we had 10 on day the burial.
No.
And I mean, they shut the gate and everything afterwards.
I think, I'm pretty sure the chapel was full. They had nothing at the cemetery anybody could go in at that stage, so it must have all been lifted at that stage. It was just masks, and I suppose they probably had a skip an aisle type of thing as well. So pretty much the chapel was full, and whatever hall that they have at the chapel, they had it on the big screen in there too, and that was full. I never found out for 6 months afterwards that that happened.
Oh my God.
But I remember coming up Chapel Road, because of the news, I thought, I was expecting to see a news camera and a couple of photographers. It was like a red carpet.
Was it?
So it was all that. Well, I remember driving in, think there was that many people. The whole outside was packed.
Aye.
I thought, I'll keep my eye out and try remember as much as possible. So I knew afterwards, if somebody was there or wasn't there, not just so if I was talking to somebody, I knew that they were there type of thing. Not that I forgot most of it anyway. But all I remember is all clicking all the cameras. Oh, they were climbing over each other to get pictures. So they were, and it was just a strange, experience.
It's like an outer body experience, isn't it?
But being the sort of centre of it.
Was difficult?
I just went along with it at the time, because it was still a funeral, and I expected a camera or two, but nowhere near what it was like. So it wasn't, so I just went along with it. Obviously, nobody really knew about the christening until it happened, apart from a handful of people that had a sort of do a bit of organising. So at the middle of the funeral mass, we went over and done the christening part, and then because the christening part was way over to the side of the chapel, not that this wasn't planned either, sure why I'd done it, I carried Evie Grace over and stood at the coffin then. Felt like I stood there forever, but it's probably only a minute or two. And then I sat down. It was just because.
But I think that was the most. When I did see that all night, I thought that was the most beautiful thing. You know, that they have her, Evie Grace, christened, and, you know, her mammy being there too as well.
That's why I wanted to do it, was because Liliana was christened in there. We were married in there. Evie Grace's christening would have been in there, but now we were doing it at the funeral. So. That's why I took her over, because the coffin was in the middle. The christening section was way over to the side, so I thought, you weren't over there, so I'll bring her over to you type of thing. And I just stood there. None of it was planned or anything. I still don't know. Well, that was the reason I done it, just so that they were closer. Or it felt like they were close. And that was it. And once the newspapers and the news got hold of it, that was another...
That's saying it just, it is, it's so, so difficult, do you know? And then, so the funeral was over then, so what was life then like again afterwards then? You know, how was them first couple of weeks, do you know? Did you even get to grieve at any of that stage, or were you just kind of...
I'm not even sure I've done it yet.
you don't think you have?
I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I have either. I have moments and I compress a lot of things down. I don't really like to take myself to that place because it can, as you probably know, it can be quite dark at times. It's extremely lonely.
Well, I keep myself busy.
Well, I'm the same. I am.
The Waynes keep me busy. If it's not the Waynes, I come up with some other wee project or a clean or
you do
go a walk or whatever it is. I go to the cemetery every day.
Every day. And do you get comfort from that?
I feel closer there when I'm at the cemetery.
Okay.
Not that sometimes I think she's an Evie Grace.
Aye. Oh, no way.
But now I go, the cemetery doesn't bother me. I've been in the cemetery at 12:30 at night. Not because I'm sitting crying in the house and I need to go, because I've had a busy day and it's the only time,
I
got up. Not often I've been up at that time. A couple of times.
Get comfort by being there?
I don't like missing it, just. I was away in Donegal for a week in the summer, so there was a week I missed. I was in Manchester at the start of the year for a couple of days, so I must know I've missed maybe 10, 12 days out of the last 15 months. I've been there every other day. When I say I've been there, I don't... 5 minutes.
Aye, but you still take time out. They have them wee moments.
It's because she's so close.
Yeah.
She's buried in Ballyong, and...
She's buried about three up from me, Daddy.
That's Friday morning when we were organising the funeral arrangements. Her daddy was asking the priest of mine, he was on the phone to the undertaker, priest of mine, what cemetery, and just came out of my mouth, Ballyong.
Yeah.
Ballyong or whatever the problem.
Yeah.
I just thought, she's from Top of the Hill, live in Strathfoyle. Middle or old.
Love a good Top of Hill woman.
we had lost a baby. Can't remember what year it was now.
Okay.
I would have remembered, but I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Was
it before the 2 years?
But because she was only 13 weeks pregnant or something. But because it was over the 12 weeks, I had to do the wee burial thing. Aye. So that's a mixture between, I knew the baby was there.
Okay, and
It was sort of in the middle of where we lived and where she was from, type of thing. So it just came out of my mouth, no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how it, because I hadn't thought about it.
Aye.
Wasn't really expecting to be asked.
No.
So I wasn't, so just.
The grave is a topic that is brought up a lot in the podcast. Me personally, I don't really get comfort there. And one of my twins don't either. But, you know, we would speak openly all day, every day in the house about him.
Aye.
But there's just something that every time we go there, that it just brings so much pain.
I see.
I think it's the realization for me.
Aye.
It's the reality of... Right, he is not coming back.
You can't block it out when you're standing looking at the grave.
No, you can't.
I don't really. I don't even know why.
No, but that's good that you do get the comfort. You know, even what I mean?
The day of the funeral.
Yeah.
When you throw the rose or whatever down, and me and Liliana done ours first, but because she was so small, I was sort of down with her. We threw ours on. Everybody else came behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Putting hers on over our heads, and I could literally hear Samantha's voice behind me saying, "That's that over. Ways go back to house and sort the wains out, basically." And I can still hear her voice in my head to this day. No standing behind me, that's that type of thing. But I still go up every day.
you still go up so every day.
I might have been up there half an hour one day, but
yeah, that was you still
walking around a wee bit as well.
What has been the hardest moments for you since after the loss of Samantha? Is it the sole parenting?
Not even that. I think the worst thing is probably knowing that the Waynes don't have her.
Okay.
So it is for me, I think. Obviously, that she's not here.
Nice.
Overall, but if you break it down, it's the Waynes won't have her. Evie Grace has never met her. Liliana was 4, so she was, and even trying to think
100% they shouldn't be even going through that. It's the same in my eye too. They were 3.5, they witnessed their father's death, and do you know, it's just this shouldn't be happening.
No,
do you know?
So for me, that's obviously the whole thing is, but for me, it's her not having them and them not having her type of thing.
Aye.
So it is.
And that's so difficult because, you know, you're taking on the role of you're never going to be Samantha, but you're taking on the role as a Mahler and a Fowler.
That's the bit that gets me, obviously, the whole thing, the fact that she's never going to, like, afterwards, her car was obviously parked out the front, and there was one morning I came down and was opening the blinds, and just in my head, I don't know what it was like, oh, she's back.
Yeah.
When I opened the blinds and seen her car, and then I was like, no, she's not. So it is, so there has been wee times like that, but even the annoying things, I miss it all.
Aye.
All the cold feet at night, squealing in my ear just when I'm about to fall asleep at night.
For me, it's the winter time.
Aye.
For me, like, I really go by seasons. It's like coming home at night, dark nights, you know, a cold, freezing, and a cold house, and a cold bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, them moments, you know, I think that being a widow, unless you've walked through our paths, you have no idea how difficult it actually is. Because, do you know, I find at times that if, you know, if two people break up and they go through a divorce, they're still going to see that person.
Aye.
So it's like 10 times harder for us, it's because we have to do everything. Do you know, every decision that you have to make is on you, where you're thinking, right, I'd be the same, where I'm thinking, right, what would Berkey want me to do? You know, you're probably saying, what would Samantha want me to do in these situations?
One of the last, it was by text message, like, but it was, I think it was the night, maybe two nights before she went back in the ICU the second time, whenever she had taken the turn and that was her out. I texted her and she hadn't replied for hours, like, but that was sort of normal, like,
because
she had told me one of the times that it was taking me half an hour to write one message.
Aye.
So it was, that's how tired she was and whatnot. I think it was my message anyway. Everything's a wee bit sort of blurry now, whether it was message or I was talking there, or maybe a bit of both.
Yeah.
She had went to sleep. She wasn't sleeping well between the face masks and the heat of the room and I suppose a new bed, and then the fact that she wasn't well. Like, so she hadn't really been sleeping either. But this evening she had fallen asleep and she said she was listening to classical music. That's all right. So I don't know if it was whatever medication she was on. She was all positivity from now on. Evie Grace's, well, obviously we didn't know her name at the time, but the christening, I want a photographer, no, I want photographs, I want memories, all this sort of stuff.
Did you choose the name, or did you choose a name together?
That's another one. No negativity, basically. She was all positive, so whenever she had died, I just kept that in my head.
Okay.
Positive, positive, positive. Because it was one of the last things we spoke about, even though she was maybe out of it and whatever they were giving her. So I tried to keep that in my head the whole time. I had a name. Liliana at the time was watching a show on Disney, The Descendants. So we were asking her about names and all, and she was saying, if we have a boy, can we call this? If we had a girl, so she wanted to call a girl Evie, because there was a girl in it called Evie, and if it was a boy, Carlos.
Aye.
So it was like, as much as I wanted a boy at the time,
aye,
it was like, we can't call Carlos. So anyway, she was born. I didn't mention names. Samantha didn't mention names. I thought, we'll get you better, we'll get you home. And then we'll... She was called Baby at that stage.
Yeah.
Or Le Baby.
Uh-huh.
So I said nothing. Then just one day out of the blue, probably the Monday or Tuesday of the following week, she just said, Liliana won, we'll call her Evie. But before all that, we had no one, we were talking about it. In the house before it all happened, Grace came up somewhere. Yeah. Not, I suppose, Liliana.
Yeah.
We're thinking along the same lines.
Yeah.
Samantha didn't really like Evie at the time on its own.
Uh-huh.
She had actually Clodagh in mind, whereas I didn't really...
No.
Just didn't have a ring date or whatever. Yeah. So she said, Liliana, one, we'll call her Evie. And I was just Evie Grace.
Grace. So, beautiful.
even though I purposely didn't bring it up,
mm-hmm.
she had brought it up and it was happy day. I don't know what I would have done if she had a... if she hadn't have brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I had to decide was the spelling, not the spelling of it, but was it one or two double barrel type thing? So we just went, Liliana's is one, Heavy Grace is going to be one.
Perfect.
So that was the name.
And how are you managing now day by day? Do you find it getting any easier?
Not easy, just used to it.
Okay.
So it is. The school routine's good.
Okay.
For me. Well, just having a baby in the house is good.
Aye.
If it was just me and Liliana in the house, things would be completely different.
Okay.
I would imagine, because... Not that she's only five, she doesn't look after herself.
No,
but,
I know.
She's not a baby.
No, definitely,
put food down front of her, she'll eat it, all that sort of stuff. She goes to bed, she watches her iPad, she can play out the back on her own, whatever. So having a baby in the house definitely gets the day in.
Yeah.
Not having the two of them in the house definitely gets the day in, but... By the time they're both settled at night, it could be 10 o'clock. I might watch a wee hour or so of TV, and then it's getting a wee bit easier in the sense that Evie Grace is getting a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
That side of it's getting a wee bit easier.
What about your grief side? Have you... I know you were saying a wee while ago that you don't even know if you really have had time to process it. Like,
I still don't.
Do you find at night time, do you find when the... When the kids go to bed, then do you find them moments then difficult?
I just put Netflix on.
Do you?
And sort of disappear on it.
See, I was the opposite. I would have sat and looked at a blank screen for probably 18 months.
I couldn't
function for TV.
I downloaded TikTok a few months ago and I've lost hours of my life. But... No, at night time I would put something on, whether it's a film or a series or it's I'm a celebrity at the minute.
Too late for me.
So that's what I do in the... At the start it was worse because we would always... Sorry, there was nights before she finished up in work. She was out to work at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I would have been watching all my shows that she didn't watch whenever she was at work. And then whenever she wasn't at work, we watched the stuff we watched together. So even back then, it sounds silly now that she's gone and I'm complaining about not having somebody to watch TV with.
Not at all.
Because you'd watch something, whether it was a film or a series, and then you'd talk about it then.
I know, but it's so different when you have that family unit and you have everybody there.
You never imagine, like
you did you, like, you know, exactly, you were, like, what age are you, Josh?
37.
Well, I'm 32 now, but, like, I lost Berkey when I was 29. And, like, because I lost my daddy 5 years previous to that, with the same thing, like, I honestly never, ever, ever thought that this would ever happen to me again. Do you know what I mean? So... It's when you're struck down like that with so much trauma.
See, I haven't sort of, this is the, although of granny and granddad and stuff, but that was years ago. Yeah. Like, I was only 12, 13 at the time. So this is my first sort of.
Aye. Well, your life has changed
real world type of loss, I suppose.
Aye.
So it is. And it happens to everybody, like, but.
But not unfortunately,
this,
it happened.
This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Like.
No, it's not. It's not meant to be like this. Do you know?
Like some stupid pandemic that wasn't supposed to be took her away from us.
No,
it wasn't a car crash. It wasn't any sort of accident or anything. It was something that wasn't supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. But I just sort of try not to think too much about it, because no matter what I think or what people say or do, it's not going to bring her back.
No.
So it's not, so there's no point, sort of.
How do you keep her memory alive?
Back after she died, it was the interviews.
Okay.
No, you'd see comments when whatever news posted it up on social media, leave them alone type of thing, but I was doing it out of choice.
Yeah.
So if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't have done it.
Just as that, yeah.
I would have never done anything like that beforehand.
You were in control, yeah.
So I enjoyed talking about her.
Okay.
And in a way, I think that helped me sort of get through that first week after the funeral, because I was doing so much talking.
Yeah. So, and then didn't you post like a, wasn't it like a picture every week then?
I'd on a post every Friday. So that for a year and then I stopped.
So that was the same with me. Like I did a post every, my dad, Berkey passed away on a Thursday, and my daddy passed away on a Friday. And I did a post every year. And I've actually a scrapbook upstairs, two scrapbooks actually, of my daddy's post. I haven't got around to doing Berkey shit. And I posted every Friday of just like, it was like an outpour for me, where I would have just said like how exactly how I felt that week and stuff. A lot of people, feedback I got back on it, it was so many people related to it. Do you know, they may not have lost, at that time, may not have lost their follower, but they could have lost a friend or a family member. And they says, do you know what? I get it, you know.
I just stuck with a photograph. Like.
Yeah.
So I did, I thought as I came closer to the year, I just thought I'll stop now and then. If I have to, I'll share the memory of it just as they come up. Not that it was week 10 before the memory came up and one hasn't been up since. So also, whatever.
But it's I just think that's beautiful. It, you know, it just demark and capture them moments of, do you know, that was, you did that for the first year.
There was hundreds, if not thousands of photographs, like, obviously there's a lot of them you just wouldn't post up because they're just blurry or it's a night out there or whatever it might have been like. So,
but it's so special that you have them.
And then there was ones that I sort of wanted to keep for ourselves type of thing, and that, because you don't, once you post on Facebook, anybody's using them in. So there's a few sort of didn't post for that reason. Just so I had no funny sort of photographs. So I thought I'll keep them ones for myself. So
that's how you were keeping her memory alive, just was that. And
so between between the interviews and just
kind of public speaking
was
about
just
it,
just talking about her.
Yeah.
So
how's the gears coping now? How are they managing?
Well, obviously Evie Grace doesn't know any different.
Yeah.
So she's grand. Liliana, she done play therapy last year. She done about 30 odd weeks of that.
Right, and how did she get on
there? So she started that. Must have been August. Well, no, would have been September. She started that, so she started that pretty soon. But by sort of between Halloween and Christmas is when you started to notice the difference. So that definitely helped her.
Did it?
I
wish that my two weren't offered anything. I don't know whether it was to do because it was the height of a pandemic and stuff. But like, they weren't offered anything at all. And I actually was on my hands and knees, you know. I really look back and I look back at especially the first year after Berkey passed, do you know, I was in such a dark place that you know that the twins felt the effects a lot too as well. And you know, I just wish that they would have had maybe that, but now thankfully, thank God, they are getting, they're seeing a counsellor now in school. Have you had any support at all? Have you seeked anything? Or?
I've been in counselling for a few months.
Okay. And do you find the benefits of it?
I'm only doing it once a month at the minute. Like,
okay.
Because I was doing it every week and it was at the point I felt like the weeks were going that quick.
Okay.
I felt like I was in there every third day.
Yeah.
So I'm trying once a month. But no,
And do you feel when like talking helps?
When I started it, I didn't think, I knew I would need it at some point, or if I didn't feel like I needed it, I knew I should try it at some point.
Yeah.
So I just gave in and thought, right, I'll do it. It was through the Strathfoyle Women's Group.
Yeah.
So it was, first day, I enjoyed it.
You did?
That's only an hour session. There's days I could sit there all day.
Yeah.
Not necessarily talking about Samantha, but
just life in general?
Just in general,
And I see going forward now in life, how do you find peace again in everyday life? Or have you found that peace?
It's more a new routine, just I think, at the minute. Okay. The best way to describe it. Like a summer holidays was hard.
Yeah, I get it.
So it was.
Yeah.
Hard in the way that at two wains in the house.
Yeah.
I didn't know what Evie Grace's age at the time.
Yeah.
Next summer might be a wee bit different. She'll be well on her feet. You'll be able to do things that I couldn't do last summer. So the summer, all school holidays are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to fill up the space because I've been keeping busy.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever there's no having to get up early in the morning and be out the door at a certain time, you sort of get sort of stuck in that way of living, and yeah. the days drag. And
do you find yourself getting under a rut sometimes with that? Do you
just don't want to do anything?
Yeah,
sitting there, like there's nights I don't even put anything on the TV. Don't even put a light on.
No.
I just lie there.
No, I get that. There's times where I've had to, or I've pulled people away. Do you know, would you have support with your friends and stuff too as well? Like, would you...
There's plenty of people about,
helping,
like...
that's good.
But obviously, you can't rely on everybody to
no.
drop everything just no. because you want to go somewhere no. or do something, like...
And that is the most difficult part, Swero,
so I don't... Basically... I just called a try save babysitters for when I need them.
Aye.
Not when I just want an yeah. error type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done, like, I was in Manchester for a few days last January. I was in Donegal, but everybody was there in Donegal
yeah.
for a week in the summer.
But that's self-care too as well, that you need time out. Aye. Do you know what I mean? Because you can't be all go, go, go. You know,
it's just even that break.
You have to have that balance.
It's that break just to know that I don't have to go, what's she at?
Yeah.
Type of thing, knowing that I can just sit there and not have to worry about what Evie Grace is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Liliana's obviously, she's all right, like, because yeah. she's not, well, she still could, but she's not going to put something in her mouth and choke, or yeah. chances are she won't.
Aye.
So a break even just to just breathe,
yeah.
basically.
And kind of the last question now, kind of, and I ask you, where do you think Samantha is now, and where do you think she is now?
Sometimes I sort of feel her close.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't felt it in a while, but that's the way it seems to go.
Do you get signs? Have you had any?
A fair few. The first being one of the nights still awake when I went to bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
She was obviously in the bedroom, where the coffin was in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in the room. I'd already been in the room. And then I went out to turn out Liliana's light in her room and whatever else I'd done.
Yeah.
Came back in the room and I just felt the hairs in the back of my neck. Just, it's like a scared cat the way her tails go.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and it was just, I felt like she was breathing down my neck. Not that she wouldn't reach, because she's tiny. but I just sort of laughed and got on the bed, because she always, well, she didn't always, she's said it a few times, she was all, if I go first, I'm going to haunt you.
Aye.
So she did, so
aye.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was trying a bit of that.
Aye.
But there's been wee things, just like, know all the signs that they say butterflies, like she loved butterflies.
Yeah.
So she did. Don't know why, but she did.
And it's them wee moments give you comfort too as well.
And then know the way they say it, all the stuff about robins and all that yeah. sort of stuff. I thought robins, you only really seen them at Christmas.
Aye.
I know it's a thing in Christmas cards and all, like, but
aye.
It's the only time I ever seen they see yeah. them is around winter and Christmas time. Now there's one sitting on my fence out the side looking in the window.
No way. There's always a robin out our back too, as well, between me and my mommy's house.
There's always one floating about, like,
yeah.
so there is. I've even been out walks and been followed by one.
Yeah.
Just fly past, sit in a tree.
Yeah.
Fly past, sit in a tree and yeah. basically getting stalked by robins.
Aye.
So there's always things like that. I don't know if I believe in it or not,
yeah.
but just because...
It gives you comfort at times.
Maybe more the butterflies, because she liked butterflies.
Aye.
There's been plenty of wee bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Can't remember a lot of them now. The big one was one night I was in the cemetery. It was around this time last year, start of November.
Mm-hmm.
And because the gates are locked, you can walk in at
yeah.
night time. Can't drive, just walk in. And it felt, I was walking along the top and it felt like somebody was walking behind me the whole way over and down the grave.
No way.
I kept looking over my shoulder. Never had it before.
Never had it since.
It felt like somebody was following me down. And then when I was at the grave, doing whatever was doing. It was grand. And then that night, for whatever reason, they decided they walked back a different way.
Okay.
So it did. So it was across the path and then up a different, had to walk up the hill at that time. And by the time I got to the end of the path, it felt like somebody was linked onto my arm. I could feel like a weight on it. And then walking up the hill, I could feel I was walking slower than I would normally walk. Basically, as if she had been linked onto me any other time. I could feel a weight, even when I was walking up the hill, pulling me backwards.
Oh,
it was like, come on, move your wee short legs type of thing. So I felt that weight walking up the hill, and then at the east on the flat at the top. And as soon as it was a weird sort of, I can't even describe what it felt like.
No.
So it was just a strange feeling. And as soon as I walked outside that gate, everything just went. It's like a puff of smoke. It just disappeared and everything went back to normal.
So it
felt like she met me at the gate, walked me down, didn't do anything when we were down there, and then walked me back up to the gate.
Oh, gosh.
It felt like she couldn't step outside.
Aye.
I just burst out crying, and I hadn't.
Oh,
I don't do it. I've done it, obviously, but it's not a thing that I do, as cry.
No, but sometimes you have to let them emotions go too, but as well. That
night I got set in the car and just exploded. I was driving, Evie Grace was, we were doing a bit of work in the house, so Evie Grace, I was going to collect her then. So I was in the tears, driving down the Crescent Link, the tears were running down my face, and that hadn't happened, and it hasn't really happened anywhere near since, tears wise.
Yeah.
So it hasn't, but that night was just a strange, so never felt anything like it in my life.
Josh, honest to God, you're absolutely incredible. I think you really are the true meaning of resilience, honest to God. Like, you know, with the Gairds now and doing everything and a fellow widower and everything, I just think you're absolutely incredible.
Obviously loads of people say that.
No, you are. You really, really are.
Along them lines, but then the way I look at it, I sort of look at them going, what am I supposed to do? I have two wings.
No, I know it's fight or flight, and I get that 100%. But you really are. I just think that you really are the true meaning of resilience. And thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. It really means a lot. Thank you.
No.